into the word. Let us go into the word and let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening, and we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, let's just continue that series we started a couple weeks ago. Consecration, and we've been looking at a few things that have been said in scriptures. Go all the way with me to Matthew 28. Okay, Matthew 28, verse 18. So look at Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. So it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Now we said the word the power is the word authority. Say that's the word authority. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And it says, go into all the world and what? Obey therefore and teach all nations, rather, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, one of the things that we said over the years and months in this particular scripture is that, you know, that instruction to make disciples, it's an instruction to every disciple of Jesus, okay? So he says the word that I would say the word they teach is the word that means to make students or make learners or make pupils. Now on Sunday, we looked at an example in Luke's Gospel 10, verse 38 and 39. And the example we looked at was around Mary and Martha. And we said that one of them was involved in so many things, and one of them was involved with one thing. Yeah, so the one involved with so many things will say to Jesus, well, won't you bid this, my dear sister, to come around and help me in the kitchen? Yeah, so to help in the kitchen will be to be involved with many things. And Jesus will say, well, there's one thing that matters in the midst of so many things, or whilst many things or so many other things can be done, there is one thing that matters. You see, if you remember on Sunday, we paid attention to that particular text of scriptures emphatically on Sunday, and that was able to help us see the need to place attention on the one thing that matters. We're together, right? So we said that Mary submitted herself at the feet of the apostles, or Jesus rather, and we now went all the way to Acts chapter 3, Acts 4, 5. Acts 3, Acts 4 rather, to show how the disciples as well sold the properties that they had and owned, and they brought it to the feet of the apostle for distribution to be made according to the needs of men. So we said to bring to the feet of one or to bring to the feet of another means, for the context of Mary and Martha, it means to submit oneself to be trained, submit oneself to be instructed. Yeah, I'll say that again. Right, to sit at the feet would mean and to submit yourself to the subjection, or to submit yourself to the instruction or subject. Let me say that differently. Okay, to sit at the feet of Jesus would mean to subject your intellect, your mind, your soul, your heart, your will, your everything about you, right, to be trained, or to the training of Jesus. That's what was happening in the Mary Martha narrative. And when it comes to the disciples submitting their funds to the apostles' feet, we said it's not as though they were using the money to sow a seed and tap the anointing from the leg of the apostles. No, it is that they brought what they owned to be to the subjection, submission, instruction, and distribution of the apostles. We said that that's a very important context of scriptures you need, a scripture you need to understand. So we said, if you look at Acts 22, let me just try put some more context for you in what we saw. So look at Acts 22, go to Acts 22 verse 1. So if you look at Acts 22 verse 1, look at what Paul says in Acts 22 verse 1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you, and which they heard, that they speak in Hebrew tongue to them. And when they heard about that they speak in Hebrew tongue to them, they kept them more silent. And he said, I am verily a man, this is Paul's recount, okay? I'm verily a man which is, or which am, a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Seleucia, right? And yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, Yeah. So, Paul was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, right? The apostles brought their gifts to the feet of the apostles, right? Then Mary, Martha, Mary will be found at the feet of Jesus. Okay. So it's very important to know that, right? So we now see that Paul says, "I was brought up in the city at the feet." So at the feet of Gamaliel will not mean that Paul was always sitting down, literally, throughout his life, at the feet, physical foot. No, well, so like I said on Sunday, even though that can be tolerated, yeah, so that can be accepted, or that can be done. Let me say that differently or better. Yeah, that is something that it can be done. So what I'm saying is, if you see disciples sitting literally at the feet of a discipler, it's not in any way a wrong thing. Okay, yeah, but much more than sitting at the literal feet is the act and art of submitting your heart to the instructions and the words that are taught from whoever is training. Okay, yeah. So for every Sunday, you sit at my feet when I teach the word, right? And I've never, for any reason, had any experience where any of you would sit literally on my feet. What I'm trying to say that we can find ourselves in a place where there is no chair, right? And people can sit on the floor. So whilst you are sitting on the floor, you are sitting on the floor, sitting at the feet. I'm just saying that so you can get the point. Okay, so they're sitting at the feet, literal; sitting at the feet, figurative, right? So Paul sits at the feet, or sat at the feet, and in doing that, he means he submitted his heart really to the instructions and persuasive words of the man called Gamaliel. Okay, so we saw that in Acts 4 as well. And we said that this word or this phrase to sit at the feet means one needs to have the or take the posture of a trainee. So there's a trainer, there's a trainee, there's one who trains, and there's one that needs to be trained. So the one that needs to be trained in the real sense is one who is sitting at the feet of the one that is training, right? So it means that the trainer in the real self, or in the real sense, will be a model or serve as a model, right? So you as a trainee would observe. Altogether, let me bring it to life to you. Look at Peter's instruction to elders in 1 Peter 5, if I'm not mistaken. It should be 1 Peter 5, 1. Yep, that's correct. Okay, so look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. Look at what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. So Peter says, "The elders which are amongst you." So if you look at the words I'll be using in this teaching in the last 10 minutes, will be trainee and trainer. So there is the trainee, there is the trainer. So who is Peter referring to in 1 Peter chapter 5? Peter is referring to the trainer, right? So the trainer is the elder, and the elder is the one that Peter is referring to in 1 Peter 5. Okay, so the elders which are among you, I exhort. Now, remember last week, I said something in passing, altogether, right? And in the local church, in the structure of local church, not everybody will be an elder. Now, let me just flash you back to what I thought. Now, we said, if you look through Judas, after Judas had done whatever he did, and you know, he killed himself and all of those things, right? And prophecies had gone ahead of time that there needed to be a replacement for his bishopric. Bible says, let another that take his bishopric. Okay, so it means they needed someone to take over the position of the eldership, or the elders, how do you use the word, elder statesmanship, right, of Judas, right? Now they had two people, right, and they said these two people, they've been accompanying with them since the baptism of Jesus. So it means they were in every service. They were present in the service. They were present in their special meetings. When pastor calls for evangelism, they were there. When pastor calls for special outreach, they were there. When pastor says we want to have a rekindle meeting, they were there. When pastor says we want to meet on Wednesdays, they were there. When pastor says we want to meet on Sundays, they were there. And they were there on time, prime and proper, right? And it was so evident among the people that people could not dispute the selections that they made. Let me take you back to the first Peter 5, but don't forget, you are in Luke 10, but Matthew 28. Okay, so go all the way to Acts. Go to Acts 1. Okay, go to Acts 1. Go to Acts chapter 1 and go all the way to verse 17. Right, go all the way to verse 16. Go to Acts 1 16. So the Bible teaching in Acts 1 16, it says, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs two, our needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of Prophet David speak. So David in his utterances will say something concerning Judas. Now, what did he say, right? He said, for he was numbered with us and he had obtained a part of this ministry. So it means there was a point when Judas was an elder. We'll go back to First Peter, okay? So Judas, an elder, he betrayed Jesus, right? And after the betrayal, that did not stop the work of God on the earth to continue, okay? So the disciples will come together and they will say, now, verse 18, now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity. Well, if you go through the series on salvation, you'll find out verse 18 is a figure of speech, right? Because we don't have a record of Peter, Judas collecting the money they promised to give him after betraying and purchasing a land. So it's a figure of speech. What that really means is that Judas, the money that was to be given to him for what he did, the money that was to be his own possession for what he did, was used to buy a property. Okay, look at verse 19. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that as the field is called in their proper language or tongue, Asil Damar, that is to say the field of blood. Now, look at verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. But the book of Psalms still says, and his bishopric let another take. So what is bishopric? His bishopric means his eldership. Right, his leadership position. So there needed to be a replacement of Judas's leadership position. He says, let another take. Now look at the criteria that now look forward to in verse 21. He said, wherefore of this man which have complained with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John. So one of the criteria was who has been in church consistently. Listen to what I'm saying, right? I didn't say the only criteria was who started the church with Jesus. No. It is who has been in church consistently. So it means when you call for prayer, you do it. When you call for cell meetings, he is there, she is there. When it comes to evangelism, he is there, she is there, right? When it comes to evangelism, and we say evangelism is after church, right? There's no consistency in excusing. I have to go do this. I have to go and do that. I have to do this. I have to do that. Yeah, there's that consistency, right? Talk is that nobody misses it. Do you understand that amongst the number of us who are on this call today, we know ourselves. Do you understand that? You know me, I know you. Right, and other people know you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What I'm saying is that there is such a thing called devotion, dedication, commitment that is loud in itself. Okay, so look at it. It might be difficult for someone to know why you are committed, but I can tell you for free, if I pick any of you and ask about any of you will tell me about any of you, about those who are consistent, committed, and those who are not. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Right? So one of the criteria was who has been with them from the beginning, from John's baptism. So they said the inauguration service was baptism of John. That's what they're saying, right? For God's Palace, for instance, September 2022 for the UK church, right? They said he has been there, and he says, from this must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Now look at verse 23. And they appointed two. So it means that from the people who had been together in the company of the disciples that followed Jesus. See, listen to what I'm saying, though. See, Jesus had 12 disciples, but more than those 12, there were other people that were committed. Do you understand that heart of service? So it means that whilst they were not amongst the 12, they were not amongst the three, they were not amongst the one, there were people that were consistently committed, right? They were devoted to following Jesus. That's what you call consecration, okay? Yeah, so now, they now said, okay, well, we need to pick two people. Now, who are the two people we'll pick? Well, they said, they appointed two people in verse 23, Acts 1, Joseph called Barsabbas, whose son named Justus, and Matthias. So they were looking at Barsabbas and Matthias. And what now happens? And they prayed and said, thou Lord. So listen carefully. They were about to pick one person because scriptures did not say, because Judas will betray, it is double for single. Double portion for one betrayer. No. It's not two people will replace Judas. It is not let his bishopric be taken by two, because two will fill the position well. No, it is let one person replace Judas. So let the bishopric of Judas be given to another person, not another people. Do you get what I'm just saying? Okay, so they now said, okay, well, they prayed. Yeah? The Lord which knows the heart of people, widow of these two as thou children, that he might take part in the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell. Are we together, right? And they gave forth their lot, and the Lord fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11, so making it 12 again. So there were 12, one betrayed, remain 11. Then they added one to replace. You see, history will show you that Matthias, who was picked, remained consistent or began to follow in the leadership structure that Jesus had put in place. Also, we don't have a record to show that Barnabas, who wasn't picked, now withdrew in Christian service. What am I saying? Yeah, your commitment in God's palace is not with a goal of becoming a pastor. You see, some people get to a church and their goal from the beginning is to become the pastor. Not even just the pastor, become the pastor. I had a friend a couple years ago who, you know, gave that narrative. And one of the things that he had said was that, he had two churches he wanted to go for. And he saw that, and guess his response. He said, the distance between where he is, if he joins this church today, and the podium is far. Did you get what I just said? The distance between where he is as a new member joining the church and climbing the stage to take announcement or to take prayers or to take testimony or to take the word, he said it's far. So what was the best thing he did? He went to another church where he saw the distance as short. Are we together? Yeah. So now, when he goes to that church, nobody knows his intention except by the Spirit. You can discern it. Okay. Yeah. But you see that people will still watch and observe and say, well, this one is committed. However, you don't know his heart. That's why you see their prayer point. Lord, you are the one that knows the heart of men. Are we together? Right. Now, I'm not alluding to any assumption that because God knows the heart of men, this is a perfect example of somebody who wanted to be quick or to be fast to get to the stage of podium. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to say that for you as a disciple, your goal in consecration, your goal in devotion, your goal in commitment is not because you want to be the pastor or a pastor or a leader or a cell fellowship member. Like I would always say, not everybody in the local church will be a pastor. Are we together? Not everyone in local church will be a pastor, right? And if a time comes, an ordination for a pastor is required. If you are not ordained as a pastor or a leader, what slant or posture should you have? Consecration, keeping yourself fixed at the feet of Jesus, being trained. Are we together, right? But what am I saying to you here? Yeah? When the two were chosen, Matthias and Barnabas, no one could, we don't have record of anyone contending. This one doesn't come for meetings. This one doesn't come for house fellowship. Remember, I'm summarizing what I did last week, okay? Yeah. Oh, this one doesn't come for a cell meeting. Yeah. And that's why you see, for now that we're using online, the reason why I'm saying don't join YouTube to follow us on Wednesday is because of this sense of commitment to ourselves and accountability. Are we together? Right? Yeah. Is that sense of accountability? You know, you can actually know. We know ourselves. We know. And that's the way it should be. Right, because we are a family, we are a community, right? We give ourselves that sense of accountability to and for ourselves. Are we together? But you must understand that your reason for being committed is not because people should see you. I'm saying be committed regardless of that, or regardless of any other thing, people will see. I'm not saying be committed so that people will see. I'm saying be committed, people will see. You get the point, yeah? Look at Acts 4. If you go, I'm probably looking for Acts 6. If you go to Acts chapter 6, okay, beautiful, yeah? So go to Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of disciples were multiplied, there arose the murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Are we together, right? So daily ministration, there will be a figure of speech for many other things. Are we together? Yeah, so look at verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples. So it means that while Jesus had 12, there were others. You know, Jesus would have 12, he would have 70, he would have 120. All together. Then 1 Corinthians 15 will now show you that 500 people saw him at once. You get the point. Yeah, but you must understand that not everybody in the 500 will be among the 12. In fact, let me put it for you better. There was the 500, there was the 120, there was the 70, there was the 12, there was the 3, there was the 1. Yeah, there was the 3, there was the 1. There was the Peter, James, John, all together, right? There's the and Peter, right? Who Jesus gave that instruction to feed my sheep, right? In the day that I was strengthening and show you strengthen your brethren, right? And there's the 12. You list all the other names in which Matthias now joined, right? Then there's the 70, there's the 120, there's the you can categorize it that way. I'm saying not everybody will be one, right? If you are not, you see, if you are among the 12 and you are not called to be among the 3, what do? You remain unflinched with your commitment and consistency to being at the feet of Jesus. That is, you continue being trained. Okay, if you are among the 3 and you are not called to be among the 1, well, what do? You keep your commitment, consistency, devotion, right? Ensure that it is unshaken or unmoved. Okay, right? So look at chapter 6, verse 2 again. Let's see it verse 2 again. Then the 12 disciples, right, or 12 rather, called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So it means that service of tables is the neglecting in daily ministration of verse 1. So what does it mean that the widows were neglected in daily ministration? It means the service of table was not done properly or in such a manner that everyone will benefit. Okay, so in our case, wherefore, brethren, now see what, now who was said in verse 3 rather? So wherefore, brethren, right, ye look out amongst yourselves, 7 men of honest report, dear saints, like I said, we are watching ourselves. We don't forget, you are not to act because you know people are watching you. You are to act with the right mind, but you know that people are watching you. But you are not acting because you know people are watching you, but you are acting and you know. It's a different narrative, okay? So what did they say? They said, well, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among these 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. What is the business? The business in verse 3 is the service of table in verse 2 and called daily ministration in verse 1. Are you following me today? Yeah, there is daily ministration in verse 1, which is called serving of table in verse 2, which is called this business in verse 3. So what was that said? He said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Let me tell you something for free. It doesn't mean that the people that will now be serving table will no longer be in the ministry of prayer and the word. No, it's just to show you that there will always be elders. Are we together, right? You don't expect that, right? As a leader, you are not laboring much more than an average member. Do you get the point? Yeah, so whilst we are all praying together, we are all studying together, the truth is you don't want to know my study time. That's just the truth. And it is because it is expected for or as a leader. I'll show you something very significant. Just listen, okay? So what did they do? They chose people to serve. You know how we came for Love Feast, right? You know how we came for Love Feast? And I chose about three of our sisters, to handle serving of table. You understand what I mean? Yeah? So I did that so that I will not be the one serving table. If you notice, I took that out of the frontliners, right? So that they will not be the one serving table because I know the task I give them every month. Right, and I know how busy their weeks can get. I'm talking about some supernatural spiritual matters, right? So we said, what amongst them they are honest people. The only difference between what we did and what is in Acts 6, right? It's just that I didn't say go and choose someone to represent you, right? I just saw you and I said, well, okay, you three just come together and do this together. That does not mean they are the only or the most committed. It's just a matter of there are some things that will need to be done. You know, there's a way you can give. I just wanted to call a name now. Yeah, but you know, there's a way you can give somebody something, right, to do as a responsibility. And you still have, if I do that for instance, as a member, you ask, what the pastor say? Well, what pastor says, what pastor says? That's a question you should ask. I hope you know that. Well, because it's the leadership's decision. Yeah, what I'm trying to say is that the truth remains that people are observing. Right, so I could have said, you all go aside, go pick someone to be your leader or to lead you on this matter on serving of table. Right now, look at what I'm about to show you. Look at what was said in verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer. It does not mean the sisters that are serving table will not pray. They will not give themselves the word. No, that's not what it means. Let me show you something. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. That means that conversation was accepted amongst the members of the local church, right? And they chose Stephen. Who was Stephen? Stephen was one who was eventually killed in Acts chapter 7, who was preaching the gospel when Paul was consenting to his death. Who was Stephen? He was one who served table. So Stephen was like one, for instance, who was asked to handle love feasts. Right? So for Stephen to be committed, so Stephen did not think of the fact that he was serving table as a less responsibility not to give himself to the word again. No. So when, I'm just saying this so you can see that when the apostles would say, let's give ourselves continually to prayer and the word, it's not saying that we are the ones that labor, then you don't worry, just be serving table. No. Stephen eventually, right, will be the one who will preach the message of the gospel when he's being stoned in Acts 7, and Paul will hear. Are we together? So did Philip call serving of table his ministry? No. Because serving of table is not ministry. Serving of table, it is an act of service amongst the saints, right? Yeah. So ministry is the message Stephen was preaching when Paul was consenting to his killing. Are we together? Service is what he was. So he said, oh, take rice, take chicken, take salad, take juice. Well, that does not hinder ministry. You must understand it, right? There is service amongst the saints. There is ministry. Yeah? Some people in our world, what they call ministry is service among the saints. Oh, I'm the one that pours cold water in pastor's cup. I'm the one that carries pastor's Bible. I'm the one that puts cold water in the fridge on Saturday evening so a pastor will drink when he finishes preaching. I'm the one that buys the tom-tom for pastor when he's about to preach. And, well, that's just service among the saints. Are we together? Yeah? Oh, how is ministry? You say, well, oh, ministry is blossoming. And what you really mean is that you are the one they send people to give when, or this, you are the one they send people to when there's, what do you call it, welfare. Somebody wants to start your money. You say, I can't meet that sister. And you say, that's not ministry. That you are taking up a responsibility of service in the local church. So Stephen was serving in the local church, and Stephen was serving as a minister. Are we together? Right? So look at verse 5 again. And the same priest, the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man that was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And who did they choose again? They chose Philip. Do you see who they chose again? Philip. Okay? And they chose who? Prochorus. They chose Nicanor. They chose Timon. They chose Perminas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, right? Whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, what happened? They laid hands on them. So they put them, what you call ordination, they put them into a position of leadership when it comes to service within the local church. Are we together? Let me show you something quickly, right? If you go all the way to Acts 7, no, I don't want to get trouble. So on Acts 7, go to Acts 8 then. Look at Acts 8, right? Look at Acts 8 verse 26. Acts 8, 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise. So it means Philip was one who was called to serve the table and had supernatural experiences with God. Are we together, right? So there is the time when Philip is serving table. There's the time when Philip is obeying the angel of the Lord, saying to him, rise, go towards the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. Remember the story now. So look at what happens. Philip now finds a man called what we call the Ethiopian eunuch. Verse 30 now says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And what did he say? Do you understand what you read? And the man says, how will I understand except someone guides me? That's a smart man. And he desired that Philip, that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture where he read was, he was led as a sheep. So what did Peter do? Look at what Peter did. Right? Look at what Peter did. Verse 35. Philip. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You see, some of us, we only know how to serve Jews in the church. We don't know how to preach Jesus. Are we together? Are we together? So Philip was one who will serve Jews in the church, serve meat in the church, and he will still meet you on the road, and he will expound God's word to you on the road. Are you getting the point? Are you getting the point? Right? So it means that Philip, without being given a position of leadership in Acts 6, he will still always be found looking for men like Ethiopian eunuch to expound the word unto them. That's your slant. That's your heart. Remember, the people that chose Philip were the people that saw a sense of commitment in Philip. I hope you also notice that when Philip was now given a position, don't forget, we have Stephen and Philip as examples that were spoken about just after Acts 6, when hands were laid on them. They didn't reduce their ministry or their work of ministry because they were now leaders. Some of us, what we do, we think leadership is an escape, right, from being a believer. Right? It's something I always keep reminding myself that as much as I'm a pastor, I'm first a saint in of whom or whom Christ died for. So if I want to grow spiritually, I don't approach the Christian faith as a rough end. You know, it's just we can just glide through it. No. I'm intentional about my growth, not because I'm a pastor first, no, because I am a saint. Yeah, so for some of us, yeah, you were a Philip before. You will be preaching to Ethiopian eunuchs. But the moment they ordain you, you raise your shoulder. You know, praise Master Jesus, praise the Lord. You know, some of these things we used to do them, there's trouble. Yeah, if the work of expounding God's word to an Ethiopian eunuch on the street is a thing or story of the past, then there's trouble. Yeah, you can't afford to build your Christian life that way. You see, when I was much younger, I used to pray. If I pray like this, I can pray for 2 hours non-stop. You know, but now, you know, we just give God all the praise and all the glory. I will just lift up all the hands. You are a joke. Yeah, let me not say it fully. You are becoming a joke. Are we together? If that makes you happier. Yeah, so you don't get into positions of service within the local church and now begin to let loose, or you now begin to dwindle in your service, your commitment to your growth as a believer. So what am I saying to you? There is you as a believer. There is you that can possibly be called to serve as a leader in the local church. And there's you as a minister who is a believer. Are we together? Right? So if you go, how did time just disappear? I would have thought that with everything I said, I should just be 5 minutes into my teaching. Okay? So if you go back all the way to 1 Peter 5, let me wrap up so I can touch what we need to touch today. So 1 Peter 5 says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. Okay, so was Peter an elder in Acts 1 and Acts 2? Yes. Was Peter an elder in Acts 1, between Acts 1 and Acts 6? Yes. Who else became an elder? Well, you have to say it. Stephen and Philip became an elder. They were given responsibilities in the local church. Are we together? Right? So it says, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and I'm also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. What is the instruction? It says, feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Okay, so for Philip and Stephen's point of view, the truth is that we don't see a record as an Acts 6 that their responsibility was to feed the flock. Listen to what I'm saying. Were they to have their flock, or were they to have their disciples they were discipling? Yes. But when it came to the structure of the local church, when it comes to order in the local church, we do not have a record of Peter or Philip and Stephen asked to head the cell as at Acts 6. But Peter and Philip, yet not heading the cell in Acts 6, what happened to them? Philip will be found preaching and expounding God's word to the Ethiopian eunuch. And Stephen will be found in Acts 7 preaching the word of God's truth in the temple to the point that he was stoned, and that became his end. Right. So what's the structure to elders? Yeah, the elder, I just dwindled through that way to just show you not everybody will be an elder. Not everybody will be called an elder. Not everybody will be known as an elder in the local church. But there are instructions to elders. Okay, so feed the flock, right, of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Now look at what it says in verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. Are we together? Yeah, so what is Peter admonishing against, right? That sense of tyranny over God's people. He's saying, don't forget, whilst you have an opportunity to lead, don't forget they are God's heritage. Now, so what is the ideal way that Peter teaches an elder should lead? It is neither as being lords of God's heritage, but being an examples or being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Submit yourself unto. So what is submit yourself unto the elder? It means bring your will, your subjection, yeah? Bring yourself, rather, your heart, your will, your everything, to be trained, just like Mary at the feet of Jesus. Just like Paul, who was at the feet of Gamaliel. That's what he's saying. Ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hands of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Right? So, what am I saying? An elder will be one who leads by example. Altogether, an elder is not one that says, you know, well, today's evangelism, you know, you all just go ahead, I'll just stay behind and pray for you, or stay behind and study. So you know, I don't do that, right? And you know, you won't find a leader in God's palace doing that, right? And the day you find it, you are sure you let me know quick as possible. Yeah, you know, let you all just go out and go and preach, you know, the gospel, and you know, when you're done, just give me a call. I'll just meet you up at the entrance of the mall so that we could just share the grace and go. No. Why? Because an elder is one that will lead by example. Are we together? Now, this does not mean that only elders are to be with good examples, because people can hear all manners of things. This is not saying that, you see, because you are not an elder, don't have a good example. That is not what is being said. No. Now, I can always tell you, your pastor is an example of who you can become as a believer. Did you hear that? Let me say that one more time to you. Your pastor is an example of who you can become as a believer. Your pastor is an example of who you can become. And look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. See, it says, be ye followers of me. Okay, hold on. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Or would that be wrong to say 4? Yeah, look at 4. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. Now, if you go all the way to verse 14. Verse 14, listen to Paul carefully, right? I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Mind you, he's going to jump into chapter 5 when he speaks about the master with his father's wife. Yeah? So he says, well, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved son, I warn you. What did he say? For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ I have begotten you through the gospel. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying, right, you see, in our world, I'm talking about Paul. So this is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, well, you see, in this world, you can have so many people's YouTube channel, YouTube page, you know, you jump from pastor pillar post, you know, you listen. But he says, well, when it comes to the matter of who is responsible for your doctrinal persuasions, Paul says, wherefore, well, verse 16, I beseech you, on account of my labor over your life, right? That ye be followers of me, right? So Paul was bold to say that, well, you have 10,000 instructors, right? But 10,000 instructors is different from the one in whom you are gaining your supernatural, spiritual, doctrinal persuasions from. Are we together? You know, I saw a video really, maybe probably this morning or yesterday. I think someone had sent it to me, you know, and one of those short videos I could watch shortly. And one of the things that the pastor was saying particularly was, you know, she was saying that, you know, that in our world, it's very easy for people to, you know, allocate or associate with, in quote, those who are, in quote, more successful, right, than those who are, you know, laboring over them. You know, and I took time to ponder on that, and I just realized that's the reality. Are we together? That's the reality. That's the reality. You know, that's just what it is, right? You know, people just always have that. And it's not godly, actually. It's not godly, right? It's a sign of dishonor, right? When somebody who has labored over you, you are sick, you call the person. You are in the hospital, you call the person. You don't have what to eat, you call the person. You have what to eat, you call the person. You know, when it comes to, it can even be as basic as, you know, a gift, for instance. You rather go to a place where it is packaged and you increase it. You know, it's something that happens. You know, so the video just, you know, brought back a lot of things, you know, to my mind. And it was just something that I pondered on for a while. And, you know, it's something that we need to be very intentional about, else we will just start walking in the flesh. Yeah, because it's easy for you to just say, well, when it comes to this person, even though, yes, you are responsible for what I know today, but when it comes to the matter of who exactly should I bless materially, yeah, I'll divide it 60-40. Well, that's not my emphasis for today. But what is Paul saying? That even though ye have 10,000 instructors, right? So he says, ye have not many fathers. For when it comes to a fatherhood in Christ, he says, I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, right? Be ye followers of me. See what Paul says. He didn't end there. He says, right? For this cause have I sent unto you, Timothy. So Paul says, you are my spiritual children. And I'm sending unto you, Timothy, one of my trusted spiritual sons. Look at it now. He says, for this cause, I send Timothy, who is my beloved son, and he is faithful in the Lord. Don't forget, he says, behold, a man needs to be found faithful in chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Right? He now says, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways? So there's such a thing called my ways. And let me tell you something, right? Safer and happier are you if the one who is asking you to follow his ways is following the ways of Christ. Are we together? I'm going to do a teaching on following very soon. I think I saw a post maybe yesterday or today, right? It says, everyone who is going to be a leader tomorrow, right, is already a solid follower today. Yeah? Yeah? What am I saying to you? That sense of concentration, your end goal is not to become a leader. But in that following, time might come, time might permit, and one day, someday, you become a leader. Right, so Paul will say that, well, I'm sending Timothy, my beloved son, to you. He is faithful. He will bring you into remembrance of my ways. What did he say? Which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, some of you are popped up, as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will. And we will know not the speech of them which are popped up, but the power, for the kingdom of God is not with words, but in what? Power. All together. And that power in love to us, you know, teach that power as supernatural healing and all those things. Yeah. So he says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my son. So go back to chapter 11. That's what I don't want to window again today. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. So 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. It says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Are we together? Right? Be ye followers. So it means we are following consistently. We are committed. See, in our world today, it's very difficult for people to stay on track and on course, following a path, following a way, following a path. You understand? You hear of men like Mark Hankins, you hear of men of, definitely you can say bias of Brother Kenneth Hagin, the son of Brother Kenneth W. Hagin, right? You hear those kind of following for years, right? You hear the likes of a man called Reverend Tokes, right? And following over for decades, right? You hear a man of Pastor Tom following Pastor Chris for decades. But see, now what? Once we just stay, once people just stay and just see that it looks like I might not be quick to get to the leadership position here, let me go to where I am celebrated, not where I am tolerated. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to be celebrated, not tolerated. All together. That's why you just see people just hopping, jumping. Yeah. And the truth is that a lot of times, if you are planting yourself in several places, you will not grow. Yeah. Imagine you have a plant, right? How long will you take a mango tree to grow effectively if you keep planting, uprooting, planting, uprooting, planting, uprooting? altogether, right? So we need to ensure that our sense of following Jesus is unique. And let me tell you the truth, yeah? You know, you hear some people say, you know, well, we follow Jesus, don't follow any man. You see, we follow Jesus in following men. That God will use men on the earth. Do you understand? Do you understand? See, you go through scriptures and there is not a single example of one in scriptures who did not have somebody before that set a template doctrinal, that set a template example that was being followed. Say, no, I mean, I don't follow men, no, I only follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. You know, when I read my Bible, and that's why I don't do all these church things with people. Like I would always tell you, well, the solution to a church that hurts you in quotes. Yeah, I always like saying in quotes, because the truth is people can be so creative when strife comes in. Yeah, people can create a narrative, a storyline that does not exist when strife comes in. Are we together? Right? See, I'm just Jesus, my Bible. My Bible is my best friend. Jesus is my brother, same as my father, and he's my God. And I just follow him directly. When you hear that, when you ask us the one, right, so minister to us by the Spirit of God. Yeah. Oh, let me say something. Yeah. So you need to actually ensure that your sense of consecration, your sense of devotion is found in the highest form within your community, within the people that you have in your sphere. Now, but much more than that, is actually a personal life of devotion that is consistent outside of the, well, let me say outside, when, or let me say that differently, what I try to say, right? When others don't seem to be watching. When others don't seem to be watching. Your sense of commitment, right? You see, a couple weeks ago, I was just walking out on my on Saturday, right? And one of my neighbors had seen me, and he just said, what's the plan for Saturday? He said, so I was going to church on that Saturday. I can't remember what week of Saturday. It's probably just probably months ago, right? I said I was going to church that day. Maybe it was one of those evangelism. Yeah, probably those evangelism. Yeah, when we used to use St. James. Right, and he was like, what's planned for tomorrow? I said, I'm going to church again tomorrow. I was like, is that where you go to every weekend? I was like, yes. I said, where's the church? Is it somewhere around? I said, it's in Edinburgh. He said, wow, that's some commitment. Right, and the truth is, like I said, how did he know that I'm not always around on Sunday? How did he know that I'm not always around on Sunday? That's because even though his life is not to watch me, he has observed. That's life for you. That's life for you. Yeah, you know, I always give you an example. Some of you put Bible on that, you wrap your Bible inside newspaper, inside foil paper, they put inside your bag. So that in case even anything scatter the bag and it falls on the floor, it's foil paper they will see. Right? When they say, why are you going to? So I'm just quickly stepping out to get a few things. I'll be back in another 2 or 3 hours. Why? Because you don't even want to say and show that you are committed. Right? You are committed to follow. So that's what I'm trying to say, that you see, regardless of what is what I'm not going to church because I have a neighbor who is going to ask me, where are you going to? You definitely know that. Right? But I'm trying to say that regardless of how you think you are not being seen, you are being seen. But even if you think you are not being seen, you are not supposed to, because you want people to now see you, now become committed. Go through a few examples in Mark chapter 10 whilst we, you know, try tidy knots for this evening. So look at Mark 10:27. Mark 10:27. So then Peter, verse 28, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and we have followed you. We saw that on Sunday. We said, Peter was saying that I have placed priority, right, on following you. Not that he was jobless. Altogether. You read through scripture, you see that Peter, you know, Jesus was not just a carpenter's son. He was as well a carpenter. You see through scriptures, you say, is that not the carpenter? So some scriptures will say, is that not the carpenter's son? Some will say, is that not the carpenter? Right, the disciples were actively involved in other things in their life, but they didn't allow the many things to overthrow the place of the one thing. Are we together? Right, we saw Acts, Luke chapter 5, and we said Jesus was speaking to the disciples. Right, and you see one, we say, Lord, Master, I'll follow you, but let me just go bury my father. He says, let the dead bury my father, let the dead bury the dead. You go preach the gospel. One says, well, let me just go beat my family. Right, farewell. Right, yeah, they sound legitimate. Right, they sound legitimate, but in the legitimateness, it's not as legitimate that it should be. That's what Jesus is teaching. Mind you, I said on Sunday, it does not mean you neglect. No, scripture isn't teaching neglect, it's teaching priority. There's a difference between prioritizing or non-prioritization and neglecting. Are we together? Right? Jesus will answer another and say, well, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to what? Put his head. Are we together? Right? So what is Jesus showing in his example? You know, you hear some people say this, like, see, when you are consecrated and follow Jesus, just be committed to following Jesus, you won't suffer. No, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. You see, when God gives you a vision, there's always provision. Are we together? Praise God. Yeah, if you are lacking, it means you are not in God's will. Those are things we say to massage our ego. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. Right? That's the truth. Yeah. So you need to ask yourself a question. What sense of consecration and convenience? You know, in following Jesus, right, you would have to say goodbye to comfort. That's the truth. That's the truth. Yeah. What I'm saying to you is that you will not always be comfortable. Yeah. Church can have a meeting, right, and say we're going to meet for 12 hours. I don't think by default anybody just wakes up and feels 12 hours is comfortable. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Let's go for evangelism after church. I don't think it's the most comfortable thing for everyone. No, I don't think so. So you can't teach a gospel of comfort. I just stay in my living room. I just fellowship with God every Sunday morning. I just wake up at about 9:50-ish. Prayer starts about 10 o'clock, and I just get to my table and just sit down and just thank God before the service starts. Then I tune in on YouTube, then I just start watching on YouTube, right? Then when it's around 10:20, they're about 12:30, they're gonna start switching to praise and worship. Yeah, at that time I just usually will just go into the kitchen and just fry like three eggs. And I'll just put brioche by the side and just toast my bread, just so that as the word is being taught, I just slice it as a sandwich. And as I'm feeding on the word, I'm feeding on the word. I'm hearing the word, and I'm feeding my stomach with the word. You see, this life is not that complex. Just wake up, serve God. Do you acknowledge God? That's what matters. No, yeah. In following Jesus, let me ask you a question. When you look through scriptures and see all the disciples of Jesus, I'm talking about the first 12, for instance, right? Or the 12 eventually, after Judas would have gone, which of them died just in their sleep? You have stories and records of them being stoned, them being put in hot oil, them being stoned to death, flogged, them being hung on the tree. Even Jesus himself. Do you understand? There is not a single one of them, 90 over 90% of them, had those stories, had those combats, running from pillar to post. They were in prisons doing their service and commitment to Jesus. Let me ask you a question. If the disciples were acting the way you are acting about the Christian faith today, would you have heard the gospel when you did? You know how they say missionaries came from here, traveled from there. Do you know what it took for missionaries to take the truth of God's word to different nations? From the words of the Bible, you realize that fundamentally you have the Middle Eastern, you have the Europe, where you had Rome and some of those Turkey, then you also had Africa, Ethiopia, and Egypt and the likes. But do you ever realize now that the gospel is now in all the continents and much more nations? Do you know what it takes to take the gospel to different countries, different ethnicities, different tribes, and different cultures? Do you know what that means? If the disciples act the way you act, will you get the Bible you have in your hand today? Will you? Will you? That's a question you need to keep asking yourself, right? If Jesus and the disciples acted the way I'm acting today, where will the gospel have reached? Where would the gospel have reached? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Yeah, some of us just believe that if it's not profiting, what do you mean that how can I be serving Jesus for 10 years and I don't have a car? No, that my Jesus is not a poor Jesus. No, don't bring Jesus into your poverty. right? Don't bring him into your poverty. Don't bring him into your riches. No, don't bring him in. Don't merge it together. No, it's not bread and butter. Don't merge it together, right? How can, no, God forbid, you can't follow Jesus and not be having money flowing from your pocket. No. Yeah, look at 1 Timothy 6. It says verse 1. It says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but darting around questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil submissions, perverse disputing of men and of corrupt minds, and deceit of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from which such withdraw thyself. Look at 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought not into this world, and it is certain that we carry nothing as well. And having food and raiment, let us be there with what? Content. But they that we will be rich fall into temptation, right, and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful laws, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. He didn't say the love of money. He says the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some converted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Can you see that this particular chapter alone, I wonder how materialistic or materialism gospel preachers or prosperity preachers, I wonder how they explain these verses. I wonder how they explain these verses. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. The good father of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and art professed a good profession before what? Many witnesses. The truth is that to follow Jesus, you would have to choose, decide on your comfort. Will not always be comfortable. Will not always be appealing. Will not always be beautiful. Hallelujah. You see, one thing you must know and say to yourself as always, right? Jesus doesn't share his glory with your desires. No. No matter how legitimate your desires may seem, you will not always get the things you desire. Sometimes you will forfeit certain things. Sometimes you will put certain things away. Sometimes you will just neglect certain things for the cause of the gospel. Are we together, right? Sometimes you will just sacrifice that thing. Do you understand that? You know, you will just decide to sacrifice. You just decide to sacrifice. You know, it's just something that you will do. You will just decide. You will just decide not to be, you know, all glowy, gloomy, and everything you want, you get. Everything you want, you get. Not always like that. I would say, not always like that. Just for the cause of following Jesus, for the cause of the gospel. You know, I was saying something to someone recently, right? When I came into the UK, right, my heart, my passion, everything around me was fixed and hinged around what? What will I do for the gospel in this city? Yeah? It didn't take me a month after moving to the UK before finding a venue. Well, we found a venue to start meeting, right? It didn't take us another month before we started meeting physically. Right? It didn't take me a month. So in less than 2 months, yeah? And guess what? When I decided on the venue we would use as a church, right? Your emoji in front of you did not have a job. Yeah, did not have a job. And guess what? Your emoji in front of you decided that at least a minimum of a year to 18 months, right? Right? Eventually, a job came, right? In a minimum for 18 months, yeah? Your emoji and his wife decided that we would, rather than enjoy the benefits of this, go and eat in restaurants every morning, every evening, every night. We could have done so many other things with the funds that we dedicated for 18 months of our lives into doing things of ministry. You see, like, I already have stories in ministry. Are we together? We could have used that for something else. We could have traveled, I've done this, I've done, bought this, used that. But guess what? We decided, right, up until we did a teaching on generosity. Like I said earlier, late last year, we started, you know, giving earlier in the year. Those are the sacrifices you will make. Let me tell you, it wasn't the easiest. It wasn't the most comfortable. But I've come to a place where I know that for the benefit and sake of another. Guess what? Imagine I waited for 2 years before we started. Imagine my goal was to come to the UK and start a local church, right? September of 2024. Yes, we would have started this month. But guess what? See all that has happened in 2 years. See how many hearts and men, right, have been transformed by that simple commitment and consistency. Yeah? And mind you, we're not doing it because we're thinking, maybe people... No, we're doing it because it's a sense of consecration that filled and enveloped our hearts. That's the mind you will have. That's the mind you will have, that you will sacrifice yourself. Your office will tell you, do salary sacrifice. You will jump. They will say, do 4%. You will do 18%. Right? When it comes to the gospel thing, no, this gospel thing, you know, venue, it's not just a big thing. Just, you know, I just want to, you know, and what you start doing, you see, when you start looking for scriptures to explain why you should not give, they are pursuing you, but you're not aware. Just that you're not seeing it. It's like that, man, no, you know. See, the word says tithe. It's tithe. That is the word. It's under the old covenant. We're not under grace. What are you sacrificing for the gospel? What are you sacrificing? What have you done? What are you doing for another to hear the gospel? Yeah, you know, sometimes I'll just be in the house and I'll just be like, I don't feel like going out today to go preach. I don't feel like going out today to go preach. But I just remember, no, my consecration will not always make me happy. Or let me say it differently. Will not always be comfortable. What do? I get up from the bed. Maybe I've been home all day and I've been at work and it's been a busy day. Get up from the bed. Just get to the streets to ensure another person hears the message of the gospel from my lips. Just to ensure another person hears it. To ensure another person hears it. What are you sacrificing for the gospel? What are you giving? What have you given up for the gospel? You've been following Jesus for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and there is nothing about your following that is sacrificial. Everything is comfortable. If the church is not 2 minutes away from your house, it is too far. I really realize that people can decide to take their children every day of the week to a school that is 50 minutes away from their house. Yet, to go to a church once a week that is 50 minutes away from their house is too far. No, God is everywhere now. God is everywhere. God is everywhere. Me? I'll leave my house to go. And you are going to work. You are going to school. Your child's school is 50 minutes from your house, then 30 minutes from your office. Yeah? Your train from your house to resume at work will be 2 hours before, and you will go there effectively Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And when it comes to Sunday, any church that does not start from 3 upwards, if you don't start from 3 upwards, no, I don't. What have you sacrificed? What are you sacrificing? We see in scriptures, Bible says, disciples, they left all. That means there were things they sacrificed. That means there were certain pleasurable things they could have been doing. There are certain pleasurable things they could be doing. There are certain things that they could have used their funds, their resources, their time for. Let me tell you something. There are so many things I can be doing right now. In fact, even let's assume there was nothing I could be doing or I should be or I'm doing right now. I could have been sleeping because you don't want to know how tired I am right now. Yeah? You don't want to know how many trips I've taken this year alone. You know, I was looking at one of the airlines I used, and I realized I've taken over 60 trips, flight trips, in the last 16, 18 months. Yeah? I have a trip tomorrow. I need to be back before Saturday to be in church on Sunday. Are we together? And in all of that, right, I could have decided to be sleeping now because I'm starting my day tomorrow as early as 5 o'clock, right? And it's probably going to last all the way till 10 p.m. So I could have been sleeping right now. But because of you, because of another, I'm here. You know, it doesn't cost me anything to actually say, well, let's just keep me doing service today. Church is not really, I will try and elongate the time on Sunday. But guess what? I'm here. Peter says, let the elders among you, right, be solid examples. That's an example for you. Some of you, your pastor will still be shouting and be teaching and be using all the words, and all you can see is that he's shouting. Yeah? I remember someone listened to all of our teachings years ago. Well, even when I listened to it, I know that now I'm much more better in my presentation. Well, I say, I don't like pastors that shout. Why are you shouting? That's what you got for me. And I was laboring with Greek word. Somebody said, why are you shouting? You're just shouting. Are we together? What am I saying? I'm just saying that, you see, regardless of what happens to you, what comes your way, there's such a thing called prioritizing and fixing your eyes on the one thing that matters. Fixing your eyes on the one thing that matters. Right? It's been years down the line. I've not missed preaching on a Sunday. I've not missed preaching on a Wednesday, no matter where I am in the world. I've not missed preaching on a Wednesday. I've not missed preaching on a Sunday, no matter where I am in the world. And some of you, yeah, that's what we are going for, like four. We just want to be 4 weeks away. 4 weeks or back after 4 weeks. We just want to ensure that we just, yeah, don't I have to go on holidays as well? You see, I've never asked yourself a question. How come even on Christmas days and public holidays, you still have airlines that are taking flights and you have the airlines in the air in their hundreds and thousands every single day? All together. Imagine you landed on a Christmas day in a country and there was nobody at the airport to receive you, to help you with your luggage, to help you with your immigration, whatever it is. Imagine that was how, you see? Yeah? So people are sacrificing things for your comfort. And now, I'm not saying sacrifice things because of another alone. I'm saying on the background of the another is because of Jesus. 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 So you must ensure that you set your priority at all times. It is Jesus and Him alone. Jesus and Him alone. Let your work not take you away from Jesus. Let your family not take you away from Jesus. Let your husband, your wife, your child, your children, your parents, let them not take you away. Don't forget, I didn't say that, I'm not saying, the Bible is not saying rather, that you neglect family. No, I'm saying there's such a thing called priority. Such a thing called priority. Such a thing called priority. Why are we not in church today? Yeah, you know, someone who the mom has been following up with me for a couple of months. Please help me chase, help me chase, help me follow up, help me. And I just realized that we are adults too. Yeah, you know, there's an extent to which someone will follow up with you. And in fact, the person now we need to be followed up on. You are not, if nobody's even following up on me. I mean, realize that nobody's following up on me. You understand? I'm following up on so many people, and you are an adult who is earning, who is working, and I'm to be chasing you. No, don't be that kind of person. Don't be that kind of person. Why are you not in church today? I woke up late. And you work Monday to Friday, sometimes even till Saturday. I woke up late. I miss the bus. It's a shameful thing. When a believer misses church because you miss bus. You miss church because you miss bus. It should be shameful. You miss church. You consistently miss church because you miss bus. Are we here? Do you get? I'm trying to say, if we were to go to church only every Sunday. So in the last 1 year in God's Palace, the meetings we've had together physically are no more than 52. And I know why I'm saying 52. Because by the time you add all the rekindle, there are some other meetings where, because of venue, we are not meeting. And, you know, maybe because of the last Sunday of the year and all of those things, we do a merge meeting with Nigerian church. And in 52 Sundays. And mind you, right, for every 52 weeks, there are 5 working days. And for 5 working days in 52 weeks, let's assume you remove your holidays. Let's say you are doing 40 weeks. Nobody does 40 weeks, right? You are doing like an average of 45 weeks. You are doing 45 weeks. You are doing 5 days. Let's even assume it's 40, right? And over 200 days, you are consistently going to work. And for 52, you miss the bus this Sunday. Next week, the bus timetable changed. You did not know the bus timetable changed. But you know what? You never missed work more than twice in 250 days. You should be ashamed of yourself. Are we together? Yeah. Where is your devotion? Where is your consecration? You should cover your face. You should. Are we together? You should. You should cover your face. Yeah. It shouldn't be something you are proud. In fact, some people are even very proud of it. They boast about it. Yeah. No. Are we together? Right. So you see, everyone in their calendar, in their lives, in their time, has 24 hours to account for. I am not by any means the busiest person, even in the entire Edinburgh. I'm not even up to the top people that are busy, right? Because you always find out that when you think you are the busiest person in the world, there will always be someone else who is busier than you're busy. Are we together? So there's no need to brag about it. A man will come and say, well, I'm the only prophet in the entire city. God will say, well, there are about 400 plus more. Yeah, so you need to actually see it as a privilege to get devoted, consecrated, consistent, committed. If everyone behaved the way you behave, would there be a church? It's 2 years running and counting, right? And I've not for a single day been to church or been in church more than 2 minutes past 9 o'clock, not once in 2 years. That's an example for you to follow. That's an example for you to follow. You don't have an excuse. You don't have an excuse. You don't have an excuse. I'm saying I can decide right now, right? It's not out of place. I can decide right now and say that my Sunday mornings, I want to study more, right? You all should go around and go assemble and go rehearse, and I'll join you by 10. I can do that, right? Consistently. Yeah, the one off day that you see, I will come to church a few minutes to 10. What was that day? Yeah, a night before an ambulance was in my house on a Saturday. Yet on a Sunday, I'm like, no, I've got to be in church again. Am I not still here? Some of you want your head, want the headache, just don't turn, want you just to come here. No, we need to rest. We now find out we have more people that are resting and they've not labored. You know, if you're on the farmland, right, and you are cultivating the fruits, you are planting the seed, and somebody who is just under the shade with his or her shade and with a heart, I say, I'm just tired. You've not done anything, you are tired. You've not labored consistently, you are tired. Evangelism, you don't go. Personal, you don't go. Church, you don't go, but you are tired. Of what particularly? What are you tired about? What are you tired of? 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 What excuse do you have? Yeah, your commitment, your consecration, your devotion, right, is something you should hold in what highest level. I remember there's an example of an example I gave, you know, a couple years ago. I can't remember where I heard it from, but you know, a man who was going to a Bible school and he was typing for an exam. Then he was now begging that they should move the exam because of a wedding he had to go and everything. Right? And when the man just acted like he didn't know what was happening, he went for the wedding, he came back, right? And they asked him to repeat the entire year. All together. Yeah? But because it was Bible school. Are we together? It was Bible school, right? But when it comes to office, when it comes to school, when it comes to in an ideal world, yeah, your manager shouldn't, or really an ideal world, emphasis, right, shouldn't stop you from taking a day off you want to take. But you know, the conscience that you even work with, where you even think, how come we now have more believers who think it is they're in the wrong for wanting to ask their manager to go off to rest, right? Right? You are feeling tired. You can't ask your manager, I want to rest. Right? But when it's church, you can ask your pastor, I want to rest. Who are we deceiving? Who is being deceived and who is the deceived? You realize that it's you, yourself. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah? You feel a sense of guilt when you say, can I rest today? That means you push yourself, you get yourself to go, and you still walk all the way from 9 o'clock all the way to 6 or 7 or whatever time you walk. When it comes to church, it's just a flimsy text. And some of you are even just so interested, you just say, I'm not going to be in church today, full stop. That is, go and do whatever you want to do with that information, mates. Mates, go and do what you want to do with that information. Yeah, I won't be in church today, mates. Right? You see, and in the real sense, you know, can't you see? That is money that you are chasing. Can't you see that money? Yeah, that love of money. Can't you see it is there? Because you know they can say, you are not serious. Before you know, they can sack you. Before you know, yeah. But when it comes to church, once a week, twice a week, always an excuse to give. Always an excuse to give. Always an excuse to give. You see, what you think it's, you know, what you think it's impossible for you not to be, what you think is impossible for you to do, rather, a lot of times is because you've not prioritized it as a major deal. You've not prioritized it as a major deal. You've not made it a big deal in your heart. You've not feasted on it. You've not dwelt on it. That's why we should have friends and relatives who you tell straight up, right? I can't attend this meeting because I have a special meeting I'm going for. Yeah? Someone is doing a wedding. They put their wedding on Sunday. And you say you are, they don't honor you. Anybody that does that does not honor you. And they say you are the bridesmaid. I mean, what do they call them? You are the, is it groomsman? I mean, what do you call the, sorry, no, I didn't relate with this. Yeah? Best man, that's the word, best man. Somebody is doing a wedding. He sets the wedding for Sunday morning, and he says you are the best man, and you make sure to go and eat rice as the best man. Best of you. Best of luck. Yeah? Do you understand how people can just be very, 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 very shady when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to commitment to God? Of all days, Sunday morning. No, it's not fair for you as a person. If everybody had to attend to a wedding, you see, people can always have an excuse not to be in church on Sunday. And if everybody picked that excuse and ran with it, would there be church? If people acted like you, will there be church? If people acted in the local assembly like you, will there be a church? Will there be a church? Will there be a church? Ah, this is my friend. We've been friends from way back. And someone that has been friends with you from way back does not know your commitment to your local assembly. Does not know your commitment to Jesus. Do you understand? You should have those days and times of prayer where no matter who you are with, you should say something like, oh, well, I want to just excuse myself and just go take a little walk and pray. Or our church, we are meeting and I have to just be there. Some of you, somebody says they want to come and visit you. The best, most convenient day for you is Wednesday evening, because it's just, you know, they say it's from Wednesday you begin to know if the weekend will be beautiful. Wednesday evening, you say, oh, just come around 6:30. Some of you, it's by default, the day that you just automatically know is the best day for visit is Wednesday evening, 4:30. Well, the truth is, there is more that's expected from you as a believer. See, God has placed something heavy in your hands, and it takes a lot of commitment and consistency to fulfill and bring into fruition what God has expected or is expecting from you. Very, very important. Very, very important. Priority above all else. Priority above all else. See how they followed Jesus to the point that it's recorded as they left all. That is, they made sure that their following of Jesus was priority. Altogether, how would the gospel have gotten to you if the believers of the time of the old were acting the way you are acting today? Channels TV, CNN, Al Jazeera, how would you have heard the gospel if the men of old acted or are acting the way you are acting right now when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to your devotion, when it comes to your consecration, when it comes to your followership, when it comes to your determination to follow Jesus? Altogether, you know, today we read all the four gospels. Why? Why do we read the four gospels the way we do? Because there were men that were there to follow and to see and to record. There were men to follow and to see and to witness. That's why I call them the eyewitness account. You don't have eyewitness account. The moment it is something you get in a revelation, it's no longer eyewitness account. So you only have eyewitness account because you were there to see. You were there to see. You are not just there casually. You were there and you were there early. Altogether, you were there early. Church starts at 10. Your alarm is to wake you up at 9:50. And you are going to be in church physically. No, you've got to be there. Be there from the beginning, just before the beginning. Yeah, we all in. I don't think I know anybody who I'm discipling that is a lazy person at work. I don't think I know of. Yeah, I don't think I know of yet. So it means I don't think I know anyone who aims to get to work every week, at least twice a week. You just decide, regardless of your manager, you say, every week I must get to work late, twice a week. I don't think I know anyone. Well, how come we conveniently decide to get to church whatever time we want? Church is for 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Nothing stops you from joining at 6:55. Nothing stops you from joining at 6:57. Nothing stops you from joining at 6:59. Nothing stops you at joining at 7 o'clock on the dot. All together, you've noticed over the years, right? I always ensure I start teaching once it's 7:02. I come on, not because I'm not here from 7 o'clock. No, not because I'm not here from 7 o'clock. Just to ensure that, you know, regardless of whatever excuse you want to have, you are just there by 7. For instance, there's some cells now who, for instance, will meet an hour before prayer, just to give them that 2 minutes breathing space. Are we together, right? To just jump into the word at 7:02. But what stops you from being around at 7? What stops you from being around from the beginning and staying with your notes, your writing materials, your consecration? You see, like I always tell you, the day the storm will reach, it does not send SMS ahead. You don't get email of the day the storm rages. You don't get email. I'm not talking about physical storm. Yeah. I'm not talking about that. Right. Even the physical storm, when you read your map, a lot of times they even tell you things that are different. They tell you it's going to rain today in Livingston, right? And we don't have any rain falling today. We've not had any rain falling the, or falling that fell in the afternoon. Oh, that I'm aware of too. Are we together? What am I trying to say? Well, you see, life happens, things happen, but ensure that regardless of what happens, your commitment to Jesus is there, is sure. See, let someone look at you and say, wow, how are you this committed? I told you, someone reached out to me. Someone looked at me over a year ago. I said, how are you this young and you've been committed consistently? Don't you, this was the question. Don't you feel left out? Left out of what? Don't you feel when it's not a Netflix movie? Don't you feel left out? Like, there are a lot of things your mates are doing. Well, for me, whilst my mates are doing so many things, the most important thing that matters to me is what I'm doing in response to what Jesus has done for me. What I'm doing in response to what Jesus has done for me. What are you doing with what Jesus has done for you? Let me leave you with this question. Ask yourself this question today. Let it change the course of your life. If Peter was following Jesus the way you are following Jesus today, where will the gospel be? Okay, yeah. If Philip followed Jesus today, that in his day, the way you are following Jesus today, yeah. If Timothy was following Paul for years in following Christ. If Paul was following the way I am following today, see, that's a question I ask myself from time to time, just to remind myself that, you see, I'm not the most, I'm not the only. I'm just one of the vessels that is privileged to be used by my God. Mind you, this my God I'm talking about is someone who has done much more than I can think and imagine. Gave his life for me on the cross. That's heavy. That's big. That's huge. I'll say one more time. That's heavy. That's huge. That's a big deal. So I want to leave you with that this evening, right? What are you doing with what God has placed in your hands? What sense of commitment are you having? Do you have a sense of doing something else for another person? What I mean is, just for one more person to be saved or listen to God's word again, get my convictions deepened, just so that one more person can ask me, or one more person might or would or could ask me a question, and I'm there to supply the right adequate answers. Just like Philip. And beginning at the scripture that he met the man, the Ethiopian eunuch, read. The Bible says he expounded unto him in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Let me tell you, when it comes to the judgment seat of God, when it comes to what people look forward to as the last day, when you are going to be judged, your works will be judged. And the question will be, what did you do? What sacrifices did you make? What did you discomfort yourself regarding? In what discomfortable position did you put yourself for the sake of another, for the sake of the gospel? If everyone came to church the time you came to church, if everybody came to church the time you attended church, if everybody behaves the way you behave, would there be a local church today? That's a very important question you need to ask yourself, right? I know of a fact. If everyone behaves the way I behave, there will be a solid, sound local church with a seedless flow of God's power and spirits. I know. You know yourself. Eh? This is not just what I'm saying to you. You know as well. Right? There will be a local church where people come together as a family to ensure that God's word is given free course and a free flow. Where people come together to ensure the local churches are ringed from pillar to post. And everyone, is in unity. I believe strongly. Also, I believe that about you, and I know that you would hear these words, and they will not just come out from here or coming through here and come out here. They would actually sink in your heart and teach your life ahead. Let me tell you for free, right? You have many decades ahead of you. You have many years ahead of you, right? However, like I would always tell you, Bible says, don't be like the unwise who do not redeem the time. Not understanding that the days are evil. Are we together? We trust and believe for years. I trust and believe for every one of you listening to me that years and decades ahead, you're going to be in sound health doing God's will. But you see, what you don't do today Are we together? Right? You might not have the strength as much as you think to do it tomorrow. I'll leave you with that this evening. Well, been a pleasure to bring God's word your way, and I hope you have been instructed by that. Yeah. So I'm going to pick it up again on Sunday. Ensure that you come listening to God's word, come to listen to God's word again on Sunday as we continue on this series of consecration. And also ensure that you listen to these things that have been said over and over, and not just listen to them casually, but listen to them intentionally and ensure that they aid and help your growth. Okay. Until I see you again on Sunday. Have a good night. Well, for you all here, we're coming out on evangelism on Sunday. Ensure that you get yourself ready.